This is The Adam Ritz Show, a public affairs talk show touching on community, health, foundations, and more. The Adam Ritz Show is underwritten by Vibonomics, an audio out-of-home advertising marketplace and audio experience company. Info at Vibonomics.com. And now, from the Vibonomics studios, please welcome your public affairs radio host, Adam Ritz.
Welcome aboard The Adam Ritz Show. I'm your host, Adam Ritz. Jay Baker, our friendly co-host, is on the telephone with me. Hey, Jay, how's it going?
It is going great. It's another splendid day in the neighborhood.
We have a world record that has been broken. Money was raised for charity as well during the world record. That's a fun thing about world records. Most people that attempt them are doing it connected to a charity to raise money for a foundation or a cause that's dear to them. And it happened in France recently. A French woman named Anouk Garnier. And I'm sure I butchered that with my American pronunciation of a French name. Anouk Garnier. Maybe it's Garnier?
Could be Garnier,
speak French?
But yes. I do, but not very well. I can read better than speak. But yes, I think Garnier, we'll go with that.
Garnier, Anouk Garnier, or as they say in America, Anouk Garnier. she broke a world record. And here's the other part of the story. And this is happening quite a bit lately. She broke the world record previously held by a man. So you've got in the news recently, the women's basketball national championship broke the viewing ratings of the men's national championship game by several million. So hats off to the women of planet Earth for not only competing with the men, but beating the men in all kinds of avenues. Here's the world record, Jay. She climbed a rope.
Wow, now this is like the old PE class rope that was in your school?
Exactly. Yeah. So when you had to climb the rope in gym class, how high could you go when you used to climb that rope?
Well, I don't want to brag, but I think I got to about 11 feet, at which point gravity took over.
Now, I don't know if this is just in my head or if this was reality, but I felt like if you could reach the top, you could ring a bell.
And I don't. They might have had a bell, yeah.
I don't know if that's just because part of me thinks for insurance purposes, there's no way they can encourage a 13-year-old to climb up to the ceiling of a 4-story gymnasium with a tiny little gymnastics mat at the bottom of the rope.
Yeah, I think the reason why I'm claiming 11 feet, my recall of it was along the lines of what you said. Our PE teacher was thinking, please, no one get hurt. Please, no one sue.
So you think you're 11 feet in the air. You were probably just 2 feet, 2 feet
it
up.
Might have been 2 feet, 6 inches.
Well, Anouk Garnier, she climbed a rope 361 feet.
Wow.
It was a lot of people were involved with planning this thing. She did it at the Eiffel Tower. So they extended a rope from the first real main level of the Eiffel Tower down through the middle of the Eiffel Tower, which was 110 meters. And it
wow.
took her 18 minutes to climb this rope. And it was, she didn't use any sort of latches or clips or bands. I mean, she climbed the rope with her bare hands, and she had a system where she would wrap it around. I saw some video of this. She wrapped it around her foot at the bottom of one of her feet, and used her other foot sort of to clamp the rope between her feet to sort of use it as a stair step almost to push herself up forward. And the previous world record was held by South African athlete Thomas Van Tonder, who climbed 90 meters, which is 295 feet. So he went 90 meters. She went 110 meters. So I'd say she shattered the record. She shattered it by 20 meters. And she did it all in the name of cancer research. So she, her mother recently was diagnosed with cancer. So she did it to raise money and awareness for cancer research.
Well, and here's a footnote to that story. I have been to the Eiffel Tower, and when the elevator is out, they bring that rope back out. It's not easy.
No,
it's not easy.
And Anouk Gagnier is the only person that can go to the observation deck when the elevator is out.
That's right. $6 to climb a rope. That's what I got when I went to the Eiffel Tower. good for her. Hey, and she did it for charity, as we always like to say on this show. Hey, speaking of charity and speaking of France, you know, everybody always wants to be the city and the country to host huge endeavors like the Olympics. And as you know, it's not going to be too long before Paris will be the host for the Summer Olympic Games. But now a water charity said that a number of tests of water from the Seine River are showing alarming levels of bacteria.
Now,
and you would think, well, okay, you know, the river running through a major city, perhaps not unexpected, but actual samples were taken at the Alexander III Bridge, the spot which will be the starting point for the Olympic and Paralympic triathlon and marathon swimming events.
They're doing the, well, I guess they're not the, you know, there's got to be a natatorium in Paris for the Olympics.
Yes.
You're saying for the triathlon, for the triathletes, when they have to go swim 1.2 miles or whatever it is, they're going to do this in a river?
Yeah, they'll be jumping into the Seine River, which apparently, I would say, you know, we always say in outdoor bodies of water, you should be highly aware that you shouldn't swallow the water. I'm going to guess they'll really urge the athletes to not swallow the water. I'm not poking fun, but that's actually kind of a serious thing that they're going to have to address, I think, before the Olympics.
Yeah, with the current of a river, I don't know, you know, do you start trying to fix the problem like 10 miles upriver so that by the time the Olympics happen, that water has made it to Paris? I don't know. I don't know how to fix this.
I don't know. Yeah, I wouldn't know how to fix it either. And that's why you and I didn't pay much attention in science courses. We're on the radio, not out trying to fix a river. Thankfully, professionals will take care of this problem.
Well, let's hope, you know, we'll follow the story, and closer to the Olympics, we'll do an update on the bacteria levels in the river by Paris. What's the name of the river?
The Seine. S-E-I-N-E, the Seine River.
That's insane.
It is insane. If nothing else, all the listeners to the Adam Ritz Show, during the triathlon portion of the Summer Olympics, you can just say to yourself when you see the athletes jump in, you just go, "Oh,
yeah." Let's hope they get this fixed, because I know there's not that many triathletes compared to the rest of the athletes in the Olympics, but we want to keep everybody safe during this amazing. I know I've got a friend that's going to the Paris Olympics.
I think it's going to be exciting.
It's going to be pretty exciting, pretty popular. So I think it's going to do well in the ratings, and hope everybody's safe when they go. They better get this bacteria situation figured out.
They better get her figured out. Hey, half of Americans consider their car part of the family. I thought this was a very interesting story. You probably have a friend or two. They never seem to get a new car or get a different car, and you even associate that person with that car. Have you ever noticed that?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Well, yeah, it turns out that a lot of Americans are very attached to their car, so much that 51% consider it to be part of their family. Now, are you that close to your car?
I do like my car. I don't, you know, and there's nothing special. It's just it's a SUV. I like the cargo space. I like the amount of material I can get at the box store and put in the back of it. I like putting the seats down and parking backwards at the drive-in theater. I've got some good memories in the car. I like the car. I guess I do consider it part of the family. I don't just look in the driveway and go, eh. I enjoy my car. Now, I'm not a car freak. I'm not a... a gearhead or a grease monkey or any of those things. I can't fix it. I don't know when it's wrong. I pull out the checkbook. I can say that I do is I can religiously take it to the quick lube station to get my oil changed, and that's as far as it goes. But yeah, I think I guess I would consider it a distant cousin.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, no, they actually surveyed 2,000 car owners. More than half would keep their car forever if they had that option.
Okay. Yeah. 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 I'm probably about halfway through the payments. I'll have it paid off in another 2 years. And when I pay it off, I hope I drive it 400,000 miles. I'm not looking to get rid of it or get another one. So, yeah, it's part of my family, I guess.
See, you fit right in here. 58% of Americans say they like their current car because it's reliable. 45% say it's because of the good gas mileage. So I will tell you, I'm a little spoiled. Our car gets really good gas mileage. And that was an unexpected benefit when the gas prices went up, you know, because we got kind of spoiled there for a while with inexpensive gas.
Maybe that's why I consider occasionally my car is the black sheep of the family, and it's because the gas mileage is terrible.
Oh, is it?
It's a big it's SUV, you know?
Oh, yeah. Well, it's, yeah, somehow I must have gotten lucky. And I think part of it is, like around here, there's a kind of a nice little stretch of freeway to get into work. I think a lot of it is, you know, where you drive and how you got to drive it, you know.
You are getting some great highway mileage that's saving money in your pocketbook.
Well, I'm doing it to save valuable resources for other Americans. I feel like it's a selfless thing that I do, that when traveling to the radio station, I'm preserving precious natural resources.
Plus, you're at the age now, Jay, where you don't accelerate to a red light.
Oh, no.
Sometimes when I'm driving with my kids and we're a couple hundred feet from a red light, And there's nobody behind us, so there's nobody pressuring them to go faster, and they're accelerating. And I'm like, why are
nice.
You just to be able to put on the brake when they get to the red light? Just coast, save your gas, just coast.
Aren't your kids going to try out for Fast and Furious 12 or whatever number we're up to?
They might be driving with Jason Statham and The Rock someday soon.
Oh my. Well, I'm not pushing the company because they sort of have detractors and supporters, but kind of an interesting look at different models. Amazon is launching some same-day prescription services in some cities.
That could be a big help for a lot of people.
Well, that's the thing. At first, I looked at this and I thought, well, this is a big company and, you know, this is one more marketplace that they're trying to get into. But think about how important prescriptions are to individuals. And I will tell you that from a guy who has a couple of prescriptions that I get refilled on a regular basis, it's hard sometimes if your schedule gets busy to get over to the pharmacy.
And
so I would welcome a delivery service, certainly.
Wouldn't you just have to also guess that the easier it is to get a prescription, the more likely all prescription costs will come down?
Yes.
So if it's just a click in a few hours from getting a prescription, it seems to me like the brick and mortar pharmacies will have to compete. And we'll have to, and I know there's insurance companies involved and big drug companies. I know this is way above my pay grade, but just my armchair economist here has to think that if Amazon is providing drugs, prescriptions, cheaper and faster, the competition would have to adjust their prices.
Yeah, the marketplace definitely adjusts on these different things. But I thought that was great. And if you're like me and you get regular prescriptions, be looking for them to expand that. Right now, it does appear, I said more than one city, they're in New York and Los Angeles, but that's expected to expand. as they sort of sort things out. You know, not the least of which, you know, with prescriptions, you have to take it pretty seriously. You probably have to get some independent verification that you're actually delivering it to the right person.
Yeah, you would have to guess enormous restrictions on what you can have delivered. I mean, if you think about the porch pirate epidemic where people just steal a package off your porch,
right?
There's not going to be opioids or painkillers on your porch where somebody can just come and steal them.
No, though I will tell you, as a sidebar to our pharmacist being pretty efficient in my town, when they ask you your date of birth, and that's to verify that you are the actual person picking up the prescription, the year that I say out loud is one that doesn't register. The young clerk looks at it as like, that was a date he remembered from a history class that he took in school.
Right. I mean, if you're saying if your birthday is in the 1950s, I mean, you might as well say 1850 to somebody that's like 28 years old.
When Eisenhower was president, that's back when it was, kids. But that's just, hey, I'm just helping out. Here's a good story. I don't always like to do celebrity gossip, but this is a celebrity gossip story I think we can that has a feel-good nature to it. Punxsutawney Phil is now a dad.
This is the celebrity gossip about a groundhog.
Celebrity gossip. Punxsutawney Phil. Now, Adam, you might make fun, but he is listed here as the most famous groundhog. So in his particular field, that of being a groundhog, he is without peer.
Well, now he's got competition from his own offspring. I mean, that's got to be the second most famous groundhog alive. What about the mom? Who is Mrs. Punxsutawney?
Mrs. Punxsutawney, her name is Phyllis. She gave...
Of course.
I know. When I saw that, I went, well, why didn't I think of that? But Phil and his lovely wife, Phyllis. Phyllis gave birth to twins about 2 weeks ago.
Twins?
Yep.
And
they actually...
Names?
Well, it doesn't mention
it doesn't
their
say.
Names. You would think, as important as the story is, the happy family are at home at the Punxsutawney Memorial Library. That's apparently where Phil lives, is at the library. Phil actually lives in Punxsutawney, which makes sense, because the commute as a groundhog is a bear, as
well,
you know.
If your first name is the same name as the city, you got to live there. I don't know where else you would live. And it absolutely makes sense. He lives at the library. Where else would he live?
He lives at the library. And you know, in just about the time I said the commute, we do know that groundhogs can drive because we saw Bill Murray train a groundhog in Groundhog Day.
That's right. That groundhog could drive a pickup truck. Absolutely. I do recall.
A diver in Illinois has found over 200 Apple Watches while lake diving.
What? In the same lake?
Yeah, this is a pretty cool story. He created that. Well, he didn't create it. This is a hobby of diving with a metal detector allowed him to get an impressive collection of Apple Watches. Now, there are other things that he finds. But specifically, the reason why the Apple Watches is they have a metal case and they are waterproof.
You know, if you asked me, I wouldn't have guessed there were 200 people in the country that would throw their Apple Watch in a lake, let alone 200 people in Illinois throw their Apple Watch in the same lake.
Well, as it turns out, I spoke a little too quickly. They're now saying lakes plural, but he does have a home lake that he looks around in. And if you think about it, those Apple Watches came off of wrists while people were probably swimming. I don't think very many people would toss their watch in, considering the retail price of the Apple Watch, would throw it in voluntarily.
You know, when you mentioned the story, I had tunnel vision. I was just thinking someone was fed up with technology. They're sick of their Apple Watch. They're standing on the dock or on a bridge, and they take off their watch and just throw it in the lake. But you are absolutely right. These are people training for triathlons. Olympic triathlons, half triathlons, and you're swimming, and the force of the water just rips off the Velcro or the band, and that's that's exactly what happened. I feel stupid now for having my blinders on and tunnel vision and not seeing what really happened here. now the water,
poor kayaker, or somebody's lost his watch.
Now I do know enough about technology. These are useless now. I mean, he doesn't have that much rice to be able to save these Apple Watches that have been submerged in lakes for quite some time.
Yeah, I was going to say, probably not all of them work. As you said, they are waterproof and they last a while, but maybe not, you know, like if you found one that was from 3 years ago or something, it's probably not working after that. But here's what's interesting. He's attempted to reunite the watches with their original owners, but he's bumped into the same thing that many people have found. The device itself it's not readily apparent who it belongs to, because it either is password protected or it's mated to another device.
I could say he could start with searching for people with really skinny wrists. If that's probably who lost the watch. They had a very skinny wrist, so he can avoid people with large boned wrists. They probably still have their Apple Watch.
It is funny. This guy actually reached out to a couple of cell phone companies, and the cell phone companies, this is the quote in the article, had shown little interest in getting lost devices back to their owner, which makes sense considering the fact that getting people to buy new ones is part of their business model in the first place. But I thought to myself, the guy found 200 of these.
Yeah, that's quite a bit. And you know, I did misspeak by saying they were all in the same lake. But even if they're just in the same area, I can't imagine he's traveling the country to find these Apple Watches. He's just going to lakes around his hometown. That's still a large number. And it should inspire anybody with a snorkel and a metal detector to dive deep and see what they can find in their own hometown lake.
Well, you and I know YouTube videos are very interesting, and there are a number of YouTubers that have channels based on metal detectors and bridges and lakes, and it's amazing what ends up in the water.
Well, I might... next time my kids say, "Dad, can I have an Apple Watch?" I'm going to hand them a metal detector and a snorkel.
Go kids, get one. Do what I used to do when I was getting my watch. I went out and earned it by finding it on the bottom of a lake.
Earn it.
Well, you know, as you and I talk about on the show, there's been some very big sporting events not too long ago. The NCAA men's and women's basketball tournaments wrapped up, and as you pointed out, record viewing numbers for the women. So good for them. Mm-hmm. And we talked about Caitlin Clark creating, you know, quite a buzz, and she's expected to go pro and be very interesting. In fact, because of those sporting events, the sports gambling world has gotten bigger and bigger, but a prominent individual, NCAA president Charlie Baker, is calling for a ban on college prep or college prop bets.
I did hear about this story.
Yeah, a prop bet is short for proposition bet, a wager that isn't related to the final score of the game. It's usually a wager on, let's just say, you know, maybe a player shoots a number of three-pointers, or a player goes over or under their scoring average, mm-hmm. or the player is the first to score in a half. So it's basically just something that randomly occurs in the game. But the reason why they want to shut that down is they say there have been issues with sports wagering, with prop bets in particular, threatening the integrity and competition of the sport.
Well, I know there's individual threats for the players. A North Carolina basketball player, after they lost in the tournament, mentioned in his press conference how many death threats he had right after the game because he didn't reach his, I don't know, point total or rebounds or however many rebounds he was supposed to get. You could bet how many rebounds this one person was going to get. Well, he didn't get those rebounds, so a lot of people lost money. And those people are, with social media now, you can reach out to that player and say, hey, player X, you just cost me X thousand dollars. I hope you die. And that is just not healthy for anyone.
No, it's a serious situation. And we've even seen some stories recently of professional athletes being actually confronted at the stadiums they play in because of this prop betting that's going on.
Now, it's not any better for a professional athlete, but I can certainly see a delineation between a professional athlete and a student athlete. And I can absolutely understand why the president of the NCAA would like to put a ban on these prop bets. I don't know how they move forward with this, because gambling has surpassed, you know, corporate America now. It is legal. It is, there are apps. I mean, I have one. I do it. I do it for fun. It's not a problem for me. You can trust me when I say that, Jay.
No, I do. We've talked about that before. Yeah.
But it is such big business now. You could almost see the hearing in Congress in Washington, D.C. On senators and congressmen not wanting to ban the prop bets because of just the corporate nature of the business. While the NCAA president sitting there saying, this is bad, we need to protect our athletes. The other side of the argument would be like, hey, it's the market, it's business, it's money. We can't stop this. I don't know if this thing's too big to stop.
Well, on the casino side of this, you're absolutely accurate. Straightforward sports betting will bring in money, but it is the prop bets that allows them to make the game more enticing for the casual gambler. Because you and I know not everybody takes it super seriously. And in fact, we've urged people not to take it seriously. And if they think they have a problem, they need to get help. But you're right. This stemmed from something that, hey, this is fun. But if it morphs into either irregularities from athletes who have maybe been given an incentive to alter the game, up to and including an athlete that gets accosted or gets death threats, because I do feel for any athlete that would get a death threat. I mean, that's just not the way we roll here in America, you know?
No, they're just playing a game and nobody deserves that kind of harassment. And you touched on something just now. Like, my initial reaction to the president of the NCAA wanting to ban prop bets was to keep the athletes safe. But
right.
Just as equal, there are temptations.
Sure.
And if you're an athlete and you know that you can, if you get less than 10 rebounds, that you could win a bet. And if you have 9 rebounds or 11 rebounds and your team's still going to win by 15 points, who cares? You're going to get your 9th rebound and stop rebounding. You're not going to get another rebound. You can bet on the game yourself or tell your uncle to and win buku bucks.
Yes.
And that might
be a problem.
I think you're right. I think that's the bigger risk here is young athletes gambling on the sport they're playing.
Well, anytime you introduce that ambiguity into it, it always will make you wonder, especially when something is not tied to the actual outcome of the game, as you said.
It happened in the movie Blue Chips with Nick Nolte, so
yes.
I believe it could actually happen in real life. If it happened to Nick Nolte, it could happen to Matt Painter.
It could. I think Shaquille O'Neal was part of that that movie as well.
It
wasn't
was.
He?
Yeah, that was a great movie, by the way. Jay, you know what? We're going to keep an eye on this story, prop bets in gambling through the NCAA, see how this pans out. Jay, thank you so much for coming on board, and we want to thank our listeners, too. If you'd like to get involved with us on social media, I'm on Twitter, or X as they call it. It's @AdamRitz, and I'm on Instagram. It's @AdamRitzShow.
The Adam Ritz Show is recorded live in studio at the Vibonomics Worldwide Headquarters. Learn more about the Vibonomics Audio Out-of-Home Marketplace at Vibonomics.com. For information on this broadcast, including past on-demand episodes, interview submissions, and syndication contacts, visit AdamRitzShow.com.